Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is The One, 95.1 FM, and of course, on September 27th, 50 years on the air serving the Northfield area. This week, a lady almost got drenched. We're looking out our window here in the KYMN studios, and there is an awning, and a burst of wind just came by, and a ton of water fell off the awning and almost got that lady right on top of her head. She turned around and started laughing. Anyhow, we have some fun coming up in Northfield beginning this morning. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. Beginning at 3 o'clock this... Well, no, let's see. It's going to be beginning at noon. And that, of course, is the dedication to Joseph Lee Haywood, the man that is the center point of our celebration of the defeat of Jesse James Days. At 3 o'clock, they will be... Well, they're going to be welcoming the new bleachers for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. And then, of course, this evening, it's going to be the Joseph Lee Haywood Banquet, and I'm going to have the pleasure to MC that. I have guests coming in all morning long. My first guest is somebody I've known for quite a while, and her name is Angel Eddy, and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Good morning, Dad.
You know what? You don't know what this is, my theme song?
You know, I've heard it for many, many years, and no, the name eludes me. I'm sorry. I should know it.
Yes, you should. It's called Rebel Rouser.
Rebel Rouser.
By Duane Eddy.
Duane Eddy.
1958.
That's a long time ago.
When I was in high school, this was very popular.
I remember the first group you played... September 1968, the first song you played on the air on KYMN. It was by the Fifth Dimension.
Yes.
Up, Up, and Away.
That's exactly right.
Okay, do I get at least points for knowing that?
You get 17 points for that. And, you know, I use bumper music here on the Wayne Eddy Affair from the year people graduate from high school. And when I mentioned the Joseph Lee Haywood Banquet tonight, Don Pavic is going to be one of the speakers for Lois and Noel Stratmon.
Oh, lovely.
And in addition to that, Don Pavic was the graduation speaker, the class of 1994, and you were in the class of 1994.
Yes, I was.
And I want you to name this tune,
I hate when you
the
do
number
this.
One song in 1994.
Oh, man. I didn't listen to this music.
This is off the pop chart, Billboard's Top 100.
I listened to Metallica and Aerosmith.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad. Yeah.
Well, this is called I Saw the Sign.
It's not En Vogue, is it?
And it's Aces of Bases.
Aces of... Oh.
Ace of Base.
Ace of Base. Boy, that's an old group.
1994.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
But this wasn't your music.
No, this wasn't my music.
Metallica. How about
Queen?
How about Manson?
I was not a. I like some of Marilyn Manson's music.
I like the Fingernails.
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Well, Angel, you've been around the Defeat of Jesse James Day celebration pretty much all your life, if I recall.
Yes, sir.
And Angel Eddy is my guest here this morning. She's in charge of the Thunder Show, which is going to take place between 5th and 6th Street on Division on Thursday night, tomorrow night, when it's Townie Night. And I was amazed at how many acts are... things that you have coming, and before we get into that, I'm going to ask you, have you ever eaten at the Quarterback Club?
I have eaten at the Quarterback Club. That's my favorite place to get broasted chicken.
And what else do you like about the QB, a sponsor of the Wayne Eddy Affair?
I like their burgers. Their burgers are delicious. Their chicken is outstanding, though. I That's what I, that's my go-to at the QB. When I hear the QB, I think chicken.
I do too. And a lot of people think about the flame broiled burgers, which is the only place in town that does that. And the quarterback club, of course, has baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness oozing all over them in the form of a special sauce. We're talking about really good food and really fast service. And it's not a fast food place. It's a food that... It's not, I ate there last night.
Oh, okay.
And I had their Tuesday special, which is roast beef and gravy on bread.
Oh, the like sandwich, a commercial?
Yeah.
Okay.
The mashed potatoes and gravy and all that.
Yep.
And I was having it with a buddy, and we were talking about something, and they brought the food, I mean, just like that. I mean, we ordered it, went and sat down, boom, there it was. And, yep, you're right, Wayne. It isn't a fast food restaurant. It's a restaurant that serves food fast. And I thought, that's right. I haven't said that for a while. Well, let's get into it. I heard your report last Tuesday night, and of course you were there last night for the meeting, and I was amazed at what you put together in a very short time. And you go ahead if you'd like. Thank you for turning away from the mic when you cough. All right.
So 3 years ago, Marty Gallagher, who is a name very close to Elko Speedway. He also, he's taken on a role as the announcer for the ARCA Midwest Tour, and he travels with the cars all summer. He started this event, and it's kind of a tune to Race Car Alley that they have during Panaprog up in Lakeville, and they bring all the race car drivers down.
Which they copied from the ones that KYMN Radio did in the 70s.
Race Night down on the square in 80s and 90s, and we did that for many, many years. And, you know, over the years, I've had drivers approach me and, hey, can we ever try that race night down on the square again? We really like to see our fans, and it's a different chance for them to bring out their vehicles for kids to sit in the race cars. Whose parents might not otherwise be able to bring them out to the racetrack to see these machines. And so a couple years ago, Marty Gallagher, and I think along with Corey Butler Jr. originally.
Okay, that name is familiar.
Yep. They put together this show called Thursday Night Thunder. They chose to have it during Townie Night because that's when, you know, the families bring their kids down. And what they did is they brought local race car drivers, the majority from Elko Speedway down, as you said, on Division Street between 5th and 6th. They park the cars. The drivers bring candy and autograph cards, and, you know, there's photo opportunities for the kids. This year is my first year taking it over. And so I took it a little further, while we've got a great set of race cars coming down, I decided that if you race it, if you compete with it, if you show it, you can bring it. Just so we can bring a little bit of variety down there for the kids. So not only will we have Elko drivers down there, we're going to have a couple dirt cars down there from different places throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin. We're going to have Andy Nordine, Speed Sports. He's the 2018 World Champion Pro Lite Snowmobile Racer.
Wow.
And he's going to have his snowmobiling machine, Ice Oval Racing Machine. Ice Oval Racing Machine. It's a snowmobile, but he races it.
Oh.
So it's okay. Ice Oval Racing. You think of like an asphalt circle track.
Well, I'm thinking about the studded tires on Lake Phelan up in St. Paul during Winter Carnival, and they race with cars. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Nope, this is actually a snowmobile. He's going to be down there. His dad is a past snowmobile racer, and so Andy and his dad are going to be down there. He's going to have the snowmobile down there signing autographs. He'll have posters for the kids. We're going to have a couple quarter midgets from up at Elko Speedway. They have a quarter midget track up there, a Tegan Underdahl, and she's young. I think 7, 8 years old. She's going to be down there with her quarter midget. We're also going to have 2 weeks ago up at Elko, they tried a new racing series. It's the Bandit Big Rig Racing Series. And they are, you think of a semi-truck, and the big rig part, they race those.
No.
Yeah.
And it's not a joke like the big buses?
It is not a joke. If you go on to Elko Speedway's Facebook page, in fact, If you look under the Bandit Series on Facebook, also you can go to www.banditseries.com and you see these big rigs race. And they are honest to goodness racing machines that are out on the track, you know, hitting speeds of 100 miles an hour.
You're talking about the semis that pull these big long trailers?
Like yes, I am.
The trailer like the Taylor
Malt
Trucking.
Malt O'Neill and Taylor Trucking.
That's out by Menards helping us promote the. I can't imagine. How do they get
they don't
to abreast?
They don't race the trailer part. They just the big rig part.
Yeah.
But still, they're full-size big rigs.
Oh, man, that ought to be fun.
Yeah, so if you go on either, you know, Elko Speedway's Facebook page, look back a couple weeks, or you can go to the Bandit Series Facebook page, and they have tons of videos loaded that show these big rigs racing on asphalt tracks. Donnie Reavers, of course, is a name that KYMN knows and loves, that he was one of our drivers for very many years on our KYMN racing teams. He's been assisting me. He was out at Elko Speedway helping one of these guys on his big rig racing. And so we have one of those coming.
Can I hold your thought, all right?
Sure.
How is Donnie Reavers? I heard that he's not in number 41 lately.
Donnie is semi-retired. I don't want to talk for him because with Donnie you never know.
Okay.
You know, he always comes back, but he has had some hip surgeries and you know, it's just difficult for him to get in and out of the race cars
now. I can imagine.
He will be down there with one of his racing machines as well as his kids Cameron and Jack race the Bandoleros out at Elko Speedway on a limited schedule.
And what's a Bandolero?
A Bandolero is a little mini race car. Say it's like a step up from the quarter midgets.
Okay.
But they race on the big track.
Oh.
At Elko on special events. And so Cam and Jack will be down there with the Bandolero.
And what age are those kids?
You know, I think they start at 7 and then they can go up to, I'm thinking 11, 12.
Okay.
It's a newer series. Yeah. I mean, they've been around for several years, but it's a newer series. So we'll have the Bandoleros down there. So we're really excited to have one of the big rig bandits down there. And of course, these are all scheduled to appear. This was kind of put together. I came up with this idea really late in the game where I just decided that I wanted a little bit of everything down there for the kids because it is a family night. It is townie night. You want something that brings the kids down. We're also going to have a truck from the Goliath pulling team. Ron Tuma is a local guy that has a pulling truck, and it's that picture that I showed you last night, the truck that was coming off the engine, and so that pulling truck will be downtown as well.
Oh, can you explain? Is it like a tractor pull?
Yeah, you think of like a tractor pull and how those work, and this is actually it looks like a souped-up monster truck.
Oh,
but
cool.
It competes and pulls.
Okay.
And so the Goliath pulling team is going to be here as well. There is word that Elko Speedway is going to be giving a couple things away tomorrow night. Another really, really cool thing. I'm really so stoked about this. I'm so excited. We are going to have a tire-changing station for the tire changing challenge. It's sponsored by Danco Accessories of Dundas, Cedarview Electric of Lakeville, and the Car Lot of New Prague. And what it is it's a rear quarter panel of a race car. And then they have the actual rim and tire, a real racing slick. And kids will get the opportunity to get timed on changing a tire.
Did they get to get the bzz, bzz?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll have the impact. And just like in any NASCAR race, you're going to walk up to the tire and you're going to take all the nuts and bolts off, take the tire off, put it back on, and then tighten her up.
Wow. Now, the Darlington race, the Southern race, mm-hmm. that was held last Sunday night, the pit crew made the difference at the end.
Oh, yeah.
The winner came out about a half a second or a second quicker than the second place guy based on what the team did. So if you've ever watched NASCAR racing and watched how they change those tires, it is pretty, it's teamwork. But tonight it will just be an effort to put it on the rear end of the car and take it off, put it on, and timed. It should be just a heck of a lot of fun, just the sound of that drill or whatever it is.
Absolutely. We've got, Julie Jorgensen is a power stock driver out at Elko Speedway, and her dad, Conrad Jorgensen.
I know him.
Of course you do. Conrad and Dan, their dad, of course, Ansel used to race the dirt tracks throughout Minnesota, and they have fond memories of you as well, announcing out at the tracks. But Conrad of Brothers Jorgensen Racing of Elko is going to be down there helping out with that tire changing challenge. So that's another opportunity for the kids down to kids or adults. Big kids are welcome too. You know, we'll have the stopwatch and see how you time out changing a tire on a race car.
That is exciting.
I'm really excited. There's going to be a lot of different things down there. You know, I believe that Ned Newberg is going to be down there doing a broadcast. So we're just hoping to bring everybody down, come see the cars. The drivers are going to have candy and giveaways and posters and race cards and be available for autographs. You can get in the race cars, get pictures. It's just going to be a really good time. The event starts at 6 o'clock. We're going to be parking vehicles between 4:30 and 6, and then the actual event will have all the racing machines down there from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, one of the things that I like to do when I do these interviews with the various chairpersons of events is get a little bit of the back end of it that people don't see. I mean, so you made all these contacts, you worked with all these people, you got them coming all down, and then you're happy about, wow, I've got all these people coming down, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then you think about parking.
And construction, and the rain, and the mud.
Yeah, and so how you know, they have to haul these rigs in.
Yep.
And so how are they going to get in and then go park their vehicles where? And how do they get back to their vehicles to hook up and leave?
Well, what we're going to do is, because we lost last year, the last 2 years they've been parking the haulers, they've been actually able to fit them three wide down there in front of Econo Foods, which is now Family Fair.
Of course, it's all changed.
It has all changed. We've lost a lot of room. So I've been driving up and down that street for about the past 3 weeks, wondering what in the world we're going to do. What we came up with is we can still use that block for parking. We will be able to fit, you know, it's going to be first come, first serve. Whoever wants to park their haulers downtown are going to be the first to arrive, unload. Then we're going to have...
But you can't park a hauler between 6th and 7th, can you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the city is giving us that just during the event.
Okay, so...
So that'll be closed down.
But they
down.
Have just a couple of slots that are long. All the rest are diagonal parking.
Well, they
for
can
cars.
Go right in the middle. I mean, we're closing down the street.
Between 7th and 6th.
Between 7th and 6th.
Oh, well, then you might be able to make it.
Right, yeah. So we can park... We can get a couple haulers in there. And then what we came up with is we have... the rodeo grounds aren't being utilized on Thursday nights except to come in and out. So any drivers that we no longer have room for to park their haulers downtown, then we'll be taking them down to the lot next to the rodeo grounds down by Culver's on Highway 3. And then we will have a team of gators and volunteers driving gators and golf carts to take the drivers back and forth. So any driver that parks down by the rodeo site, then we will have carts going back and forth to bring them back to their vehicles for the event and then back to their haulers at
so
the end.
So you're thinking of everything. You got to cover everything.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Donnie texted me at about 10 o'clock last night going, you're not parking them in the rodeo grounds, right? Because those haulers are heavy, and it's muddy, and it's wet. But we've got that big concrete slab before you actually hit, and we should be able to fit the majority of the haulers in there. Hopefully, there aren't a lot of camp. I saw a camper park down there last night, so hopefully they haven't all moved in by tomorrow night. So that's our plan.
Well, when you talk to these people that are coming in from out of state and out of the immediate area, and they may be relatively new to the Defeat of Jesse James Day celebration, were they aware of the celebration in Northfield, some of these drivers and owners of vehicles that are not from the area?
You know, a handful of them have. To be honest with you, I thanks to wide world of social media, I did create an event for drivers. It's a private event that I created on Facebook, so I was able to invite drivers electronically. I created the event. A handful of them I've spoken with. Otherwise, it's been through emails and Facebook messages and text messages. And to be honest with you, there aren't a lot of these drivers that I've actually spoken with. It's been word of mouth. Getting Dan Gannon from Danco Accessories out in Dundas. He's a huge, huge race fan. He's a huge race supporter. He knows a lot of people, and he actually stepped up. Natalie from Cedarview Electric in Lakeville, she is also a big sponsor of racing, a huge supporter, a huge fan. She stepped up and has been assisting, and because she's the one that runs the race car alley up in Lakeville.
Okay.
So it's been a lot of networking. I mean, the racing community still to this day is just absolutely outstanding. You know, you pass word of mouth and people hear about different events going on and, hey, can I bring my car? And like I said, this year it's if you race it, if you show it, if you compete in it, you can bring it. Because it's all about the kids, you know, and giving them something to look at and having a good time on Townie Night.
Were you a kid ever when we had the...
I was never a kid.
Okay. How old were you when you first attended one of the race car shows that KYMN Radio put on in Bridge Square?
Oh, boy.
I mean, you were...
Probably when you started them.
Yeah.
And then I started putting them together when I was about... 18, 19 mm-hmm. years old is when I started.
Yeah.
Because, well, Nikki Fredrickson was working for you out at KYMN, and then when she left to go do bigger and better things, she I kind of took that over from her. And, you know, it was all kind of set. It was just basically picking up the phone and reminding the drivers of the date and the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she had it all put together, And the drivers absolutely loved it. They still talk about it to this day.
Well, I remember the four corners of Bridge Square.
Oh, yeah.
And the city was worked with us on that.
Oh, they were very gracious with us for that.
And by the way, this was an independent event, and it was held in August. And I would have Mike Tuma, number 82, on mm-hmm. the northeast corner.
Yep.
And on the northwest or the southeast corner, I would have Dave Parrott
and Gordy Swanson. Gordy Swanson drove for us a couple of years. We've had Gordy down there too.
And then, of course, Jeff Martin, I had him down there.
Yep.
And of course, Donnie Reavers, he was down there in 41. Yep. He was a kid then. And Les Ferris brought number 14 down.
Yep.
And as I mentioned, Jeff Martin, too. And I kind of got the late model cars working. And, of course, we sponsored every one of those.
Yep.
And you got to help in that. What did we call it back then?
Just race night down on the square.
Yeah, but, I mean, what did we call the cars that were
big?
Hobby stocks?
No, they were bombers.
Bombers.
No. Bombers, thunder cars, sportsmen, and late models.
No, I think, and I had hobby stocks.
Those are the
sportsmen
stocks.
And late models back.
And I remember the hobby stocks back in my day were when Donnie Reavers drove when we were in high school. They were bombers.
Okay, yeah. I'm just there's always an evolution.
It's power stocks and thunders and late models
and
super late.
When I went to the track a couple of times this year, you know, I'm looking for the late models. Well, the sportsmen is what I call them. They come out. And they look like late models.
They're the big
and they
eights.
Run like late models. And then the big eight or whatever you call them came out. It's a lot of fun, and that's going to be Thursday night on KYMN Radio. I don't know where the connection is with Ned, the horse farmer.
We're still working on that.
Okay, and like I say, I saw him this morning, and he had... He looks busy all the time. When I see him, he's always moving.
Oh, yeah.
And doing things. But that'd be nice. What would he announce?
Just talking to the kind of as we used to do for our race night down in the square. You know, giving the drivers a chance.
And that's going to be on the air?
We're working on it.
Oh, well, you got one day to do it.
I got one day to. Well, I've done this in a month. So, yeah. You know. Thanks for calling me out, Dad. That's what you're here for, right?
No, I don't know. What
do you mean? We're going to the reason that these guys also bring their race cars down is they wouldn't have those race cars if it wasn't for their sponsors. And so we want to be sure that for the time and energy and the enthusiasm that these guys bring their racing machines down, we want to make sure that we get their sponsors out as well, because that's the whole reason they race.
927 on 1080 Radio, KYMN. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Angel Eddy, or Angela. And Angela, I see when I do this interview, I always do little things on the side that are on a personal side, like where do you work, etc. And I see you're wearing a black shirt that has a Archer House logo on it.
Yes, I'm now an employee of the Archer House River Inn, that beautiful downtown Northfield, just mere steps down the street.
Yeah,
that's so nice. I am working today, sporadically, yeah. amongst defeat stuff. So yeah, I'm down there and we're super busy, and we're booked, and everybody moves in for Defeat of Jesse James Days this week.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. So to wrap it up here, Angel, and once again, remind me and others how many different categories are going to be at down at the on Division Street between 5th and 6th, and it's called Thunder Alley?
No, this one is Thursday Night Thunder.
Thursday Night Thunder.
Scheduled to appear. There could be additions, subtractions. You never know in the racing community who might just say, hey, I'm going to load up the car, come downtown. So far, we have scheduled to appear from Elko Speedway, Ted Reavers, Michael Ozdeck. Michael Ozdeck also races the ARCA Midwest Tour amongst other racing series. You happen to know his uncle, or have known his uncle,
Dwayne
Behrens.
Yep.
So Michael will be down there. Michael Gilliman is a local driver, and he will also be bringing not only his asphalt Elko car, but he races dirt over in Wisconsin, so he's going to be bringing his dirt cars as well. Nick Oxborough, Mike Peterson, Julie Jorgensen will have her power stock down there. Of course, we mentioned Donnie Reavers, and then his sons Cam and Jack and their Bandoleros, Larry Scott, Sean Evans. That's a handful of drivers from Elko. We're looking at our dirt driver, Troy Goodmanson. And then, of course, I mentioned Ron Tuma and his Goliath pulling team truck is going to have his truck down there. Donnie didn't give me a name, but we will have a Bandit big rig racer racing semi from the Bandit series. We'll have one of his big rigs down there. Andy Nordine Speed Sports, he was that 2018 world champion pro light snowmobile racer from the quarter midgets out at Elko. We've got Tegan Underdahl. I've also been in contact with Gordy Swanson. His son Tristan not only races, has grown up racing quarter midgets, but now he's also racing legend cars. So we're working on it. Elko Speedway, we might have some giveaways from them. Don't forget, we'll have that tire changing station challenge sponsored by Danco, Cedar View Electric, and the car lot in New Prague. There's also one other invitee that I'm working on. They will be in the parade on Sunday. They're going to work on bringing this truck. It is a big rig biodiesel pickup truck that was actually built on Diesel Brothers on the Discovery Channel, and they were out there with I think the name of the truck is Indomitus, and I've been in contact with his driver. He was going to let me know by noon today. We may have that biodiesel truck down there as well.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun packed night. There'll be candy and stuff for the kids. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. on Division Street between 5th and 6th.
All right. Well, Angel Eddy, thank you very much for stopping by to say hello and to inform people on your activity during the Defeat of Jesse James Days, particularly Townie Night tomorrow night. Thank you.
Townie Night tomorrow night. You're welcome, Dad. Thank you.
All right. Angel Eddy, my guest here on KYMN Radio. Coming up next on your radio station is going to be a woman by the name of Debbie. We have a Deb and we have a Debbie, and I, of course, always mix them up. What we're going to do is take a little break here and have Deb step into the studio and participate with me and tell me what she's up to, because she is the secretary of our celebration.
Free golf at a private club is almost unheard of, but you can find it at Northfield Golf Club. The club's fall membership incentive offers free golf for the remainder of the 2018 season with a modest deposit on your 2019 membership. Membership at Northfield Golf Club will gain you access to the championship course at this private club with superior dining in the beautiful, newly remodeled clubhouse. In golf, club selection is very important. Select Northfield Golf Club. For more membership information and free golf for the 2018 season, check out northfieldgolfclub.com.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the Buffalo Rotisserie Style Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a rallying cry, please.
Coming right up.
Crusaders of flavor! Ahead lies the bold and spicy Buffalo Rotisserie Style Chicken Signature Wrap. There may come a day when you wish for bland flavor, but it is not this day! This day, we feast! Go forth to Subway and make it what you want!
Limited time at participating shops.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. It is 9:32. On this Wednesday morning, we have somewhat of a breeze out there. It is overcast and kind of But we are going to continue interviewing individuals that are very involved with the Topeka Jesse James Day Committee. And next we have Deb Larson, and she has been the general chairman of the celebration and served as secretary for many different years, including this year, and works out at what I used to call Sheldahl. And now it's called
Sheldahl Flexible Technologies, Inc.
It is Sheldahl, the name?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought Sheldahl was all gone.
Sheldahl Inc. is.
Oh.
But our parent company sold off part of Maltech in China, and so we were the only division that still had the Maltech name. So they decided to change it, and so we went back to Sheldahl and added Flexible Technologies, Inc.
Well, that's really cool.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Now, this is going to surprise people. How many years have you been working at Sheldahl?
Almost 48.
48?
Yes.
48?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I've been here 50 years this month.
Congratulations.
That I lived in Northfield. And so that's quite an accomplishment.
It is. I'm proud of that.
You must have one heck of a nice retirement package.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. do you plan on retiring at all? Or are you going to try to reach 50?
You know, people ask me that. As long as I am challenged in my job, I like what I'm doing, and I like who I'm working with, I plan on staying.
Okay. Good for you. 48 years. Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Pretty good. I know that we did a remote broadcast out at Sheldahl when they moved to the west side of Highway 3, and you were in charge of that.
The 40th.
And how long? That's quite a while ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you, boy, the stuff you gave away.
Yes.
And it was a fun thing to do a remote broadcast, and thank you for thinking of us.
Yeah, no problem. You know, and that was the first time and the only time that we have opened up both facilities to tours. And so I think the community appreciated that.
Well, tickle my memory here. I was out at Sheldahl, and Governor Wendy Anderson was there. And they gave him a cup of coffee that was made from some water that they had processed to be good water. Do you remember that at all?
You know, I remember him coming, but I don't remember that. The rest of it.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing, but anyhow, I remember the challenge to drink this coffee that had been from murky water or something. Anyhow, we're here to talk about the big deal going on today, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Now, tonight is Joseph Lee Haywood Banquet.
Correct.
And you are the daughter of a man that received that honor, and it's going to be a sad night when I walk in the door and I don't see your dad, Gene Finger, sitting there. Used to be standing there, then it was sitting there, and he made sure everybody had buttons.
Yes.
So I imagine that's going to be hard on you a little bit tonight when you go.
It is, but I'm taking his spot.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Okay, all right. going to do that solo?
No, I believe Glee Stark is going to be joining me.
Okay, so you'll be on the left-hand side when people walk in that don't have buttons, that it's a button event.
Correct.
So you'll be taking care of that for your dad.
Yes.
And he'll be looking down saying, way to go, daughter.
And I hope so.
And of course, he was a recipient.
Yes.
About what, 10 years ago?
Oh, no.
We're thinking right now.
I think I want to say about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay. Time flies.
I know.
Sometimes you think it's 10 years ago and it's 5, and sometimes you think it's 5 and it's 20.
Exactly.
All right. So your role as secretary during the Defeat of Jesse James Day year is a very important job, because you do all of the secretarial work that, keeping minutes, for example, making the minutes up, all the mail that comes in, you pick up, any cards of appreciation or complaints you present, and you kind of the keeper of what's going on at with the organization, which is a 501c. So what do you do on a, you're not going to be taking notes?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Well, I'm also part of College City Sertoma, and the Defeated Jesse James Days Committee contracts out nonprofit groups to help out throughout the community.
I think we should explain that a little bit more. For example, St. Peter's Church.
Yep.
They come down and they help put up the fence around the entertainment center.
That is correct.
Every year.
Yes.
And then they come and take it down. And they get a donation from the Defeated Jesse James Days Committee.
Correct.
And we pay them to do that for their church. That's one.
That's one. And then anybody, any group that pours beer at the entertainment center, they also get paid. And it helps out whatever their group sponsors in the community.
Well, if I remember correctly, Ducks Unlimited had access to that opportunity, particularly at the rodeo site, mm-hmm. in the past. I think St. Dominic's might have picked up a opportunity to get some dollars through labor contributed to their church.
Right.
And then, of course, you have banner carriers.
Yes.
And I wonder if I've got anybody from the parade coming in.
Well, do you have Steve Wilson on there?
Steve Wilson is, let's see.
In charge of banners.
Today we have Angel, Debbie, then Concessions, John, Deb Anthony, General Chairman, and then tomorrow Becca Peterson on the board. Sandy Vesladal puts a lot of things together. Mark Anthony from the Entertainment Center, and then Sid Casper with the, so I don't
okay.
have that.
Yeah, and I know that Steve is still looking for banner carriers. And a banner carrier, there's two per banner, and each carrier gets $10 per trip down the route. And they get back, or they get down to the end of the route, and we transport them back if they're doing it again, and they come back down.
Okay.
So it's an easy way to raise funds for your group.
Yeah, and a marvelous opportunity to walk down the parade route. Your organization, nonprofit, gets $20 per banner.
Yep.
And the kids or the adults, whomever carry the banners, they get to be in the parade and look around at the parade people line up and get to see the parade and do something good for their community and their nonprofit organization.
It's a win-win for everybody.
That's a sweetheart deal. And thank you to the sponsors.
Yes.
Who have banners, because, of course, that's advertising.
Yes.
And they pay for that.
Yes.
And out of that dollar goes the money to the banner carriers. So
yes.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a lot of
it's
people.
It's huge.
Yeah. And he needs help.
Yes, he does.
So if you are a member of a nonprofit organization and you want to carry banners in Sunday's parade at 2 o'clock, you will get minimum of $20 for one trip. And if you if they need you for more trips, you can make more money.
Yes.
But it's an opportunity, and I would recommend you or your kids or grandkids do it. All you have to do is get a hold of Steve Wilson. And am I smart enough to have his telephone number?
Well, we found out last night that the phone number in the brochure is incorrect.
Oh.
And
so I won't be calling that.
Yeah, but I can get a hold of Steve somehow and have him call the radio station and let him
Or they can pick up a flyer that we have around town that anybody, you know, picks up to show the whole schedule.
Right.
Pick one up and call anybody on there.
Yeah, and especially the board members.
Yeah, call me, call you, call the board members, and let them know that you have one or two or four or six people that are willing to carry banners for your organization and pick up those dollars for your nonprofit, and they'll get to Steve Wilson, who will get back to you.
Yes.
Okay, got that solving problem. problem solved.
Spit it out.
Things are happening in this head of mine. So how long have you been on the committee?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be between 25 and 30 years.
Between what?
Between 25 and 30 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And Sandy Vesteladal has been on that long, I believe.
Oh, I think she's been on it a little longer than I have.
And the other day, a week ago yesterday, at the meeting, all of the past general chair people were asked to stand, and and you stood, of course, and Greg
Langer.
He stood, and Jane Moline, and Chip DeMann, and Sandy Vesteladal,
and your wife,
and Julie Eddy, and people, I think, were impressed. Like, wow, these people were general chairs, and they're now doing this and doing that.
Yeah, I think it's impressive, and it tells a story about how we love this organization and we want it to continue to succeed, and we still want to be a part of that.
So what is the what has changed since you were general chairman, and when were you general chairman?
Oh boy.
You can remember.
I'll have to think about that.
5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
Oh, it's probably been 15. Wow. I was right after your wife.
Oh, that'd be 2001.
Yes.
17. Yeah.
17 years. Wow. How time flies.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot has changed, but we have added some new events, which is exciting. The Giddy Up Horsey Race.
Yes.
The
big one, Saturday morning. Starts at St. John's.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've been trying to think of, because I know we had Raider Derby, because I knew we had to change the name.
From Soapbox Derby.
Soapbox Derby, and I was, Raider Derby.
Got a letter from their attorney.
Yes.
Saying you have to cease and desist. Yep. And then our lawyer, Dave Vesteladal, Vistendahl. I showed him the letter, and he looked at it, and he said, cease and desist. Okay. It's a trademark name, and we can't use it. Just like ours is trademark, and people can't print anything or
unless they have approval from the committee.
Right.
And there is a fee for that.
Yeah. Trademark the logo and the DJJD. And by the way, your dad used to run around with Sertoma plates on his car.
Yes.
And then when he retired somewhat, you took over the name Sertoma on the plates. Where did they go from there? Because I don't think I've seen them on your...
They're on my vehicle.
Okay, that's
they're
good.
They're not on the little car, but they're on my Escape.
Okay. Well, I went and got DJJD.
Yes, you did.
And I was at the board meeting. I think I might have been chairman at the time. And there were a couple of people that, you know, looked and, you know, who do you think you are putting DJJD on your license plate?
Really?
Yeah, without permission, know. And it went over well with the rest of the people. Mm-hmm. And, everybody said, what does that stand for? And most of them will say, disc jockey, DJ disc jockey. No. And then I tell them, about Defeated Jesse James Days.
It's a conversation starter.
And an opportunity to let them know about the big show. Well, now that is trademark.
Yep.
DJJD is trademark, and you'd have to buy permission for that.
Yep.
So I don't know what I'll do with it as a near note, not driving anymore, but that's the way it goes. Debbie is, I get mixed up. Yeah, you're Debbie.
Yeah, I'm Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie Larson, my guest. She is the secretary of the Defeated Jesse James Day celebration. We'll continue our conversation right after this word.
This is summertime. This is summertime at Target Field. This is summertime at Target Field with your friends. This is summertime at Target Field with your friends and a beer in your hand.
Hey, ice cold beer. Get your beer.
This is summertime at Target Field with your friends and a beer in your hand as the Twins hit a home run. This. Yeah. This is how we baseball. Minnesota Twins. Single game tickets on sale now. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years now. And, of course, now the 195.1 FM. My guest this morning is Debbie Larson. Debbie Larson is the secretary for the Defeated Jesse James Days, which includes a lot of work, a lot of... I got something I want you to help me with if you have any time in the next day or two. Well, I don't do computers, and I got some stuff I want to do that requires where you say, do this, do that, refer to, and then it's in a different color and underlined, right. And it's a site. I don't know how all that stuff works, but anyhow, if you find any time between now, I'll be busy at 5 o'clock for the big banquet tonight at the Northfield Ballroom, but I have the... from now until then.
So, no, you don't, because you have interviews until 11.
Yeah.
And then I'm tied up. We have the Joseph Lee Haywood Graveside Service.
At noon.
Yep, and I'll be there. Yeah. Then we have anybody who wants to go to lunch. We're going to Carboni's.
Okay.
Then at 3 o'clock, we have the ribbon cutting out at the rodeo site for the bleachers.
The new bleachers.
Yes. And okay. Then turn around and go out to the Haywoods. So it's
Doesn't look like... Well, that... Tomorrow's even better for what I want to do.
Okay.
But we have to be at a computer.
Yes.
So we can sense of. Yep. Okay. Will you do that?
I'll help you if I can.
And actually, I've asked you before, but before, everything's Minnesota State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you talk about the Vikings, the Twins, and the Wild, they get all this publicity because they're in the sports pages and all that.
Yes.
But there's no entity that gets more coverage than the Minnesota State Fair. Unbelievable. Yeah. Every day in the newspaper, every day on every radio station, every television station. And it just, someday I thought I'd like to have it be like that, that have every, and I succeeded sometimes to get people to come down to do things. But anyhow, what else? What else you want to talk about, Secretary?
Well, not just Secretary, but let's go back to the buttons.
Okay.
The buttons are an important part of the celebration. They're $5, and there are button bends throughout the weekend. Those buttons that we sell help put on this celebration. They help cover the cost of porta potties, which are important, garbage, which is really important, insurance, which is high, and other things that we do.
Electricity.
Yes. Yeah, we have to pay for that too. Ice for the entertainment center. So it's really important to help us keep the celebration viable, and purchasing a button is a way to do that.
And you know, when you think about it, $5 today compared to $1 back when I first started is pretty much the same based on inflation. But what's really neat about this is that these buttons are designed locally.
Yes.
These buttons are made locally.
Yes.
And these buttons do something really swell. Fantastic. Good. For whom?
For whom? For actually all of Northfield. Sertoma is contracted. We get so much per button we sell, which goes back into the community. The rest goes for the Defeated Jesse James Day celebration. And without that money, it would be very, very hard to cover the costs to put on this celebration.
And what about the people that make the button?
Oh, that's so special. The special ed groups at the middle school and high school put those buttons together. And so when they're done, we go to the schools and meet with the kids that do it. They each get a t-shirt from us that says button maker on the back. And we take pictures. And this was the first year I was able to go. And I had some tears in my eyes, because they were so proud of what they had accomplished. And then they had money for whatever the class decided to do.
Well, I'll use the terminology special ed, okay?
Special ed.
And so they make these buttons. They're proud of it. When they come downtown with their families, they can look at these buttons and say, I made that.
Yes.
And that makes them feel really important and good.
And it should.
And then the dollars that they raise, because we pay them for the buttons, goes to their special needs, whether it's...
they may put on a class, do a class trip with that money, or throw a party, or something that
special.
I believe is special to them as a group. And I just think that's just the neatest idea.
I do, too. And we're going to take a final break this hour on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We'll be back in less than a minute.
Live the legend and throw axes with your friends at the all-new Battle Axe Pub. Visit Magic, the live unicorn, hug a kangaroo, pet an African porcupine, or hand-feed a grape to a ring-tailed lemur. Soar over the crowd at the Wizard's Flight School Zipline. Have a blast at the new Bow Blast competition. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Family fun for one and all. Weekends through September 30th. Discount tickets at Super America, Cobb, Menards, Dunn Brothers, and at RenaissanceFest.com.
RenaissanceFest.com. By the way, do you know where the Renaissance Fair first started?
No.
They started, I think, in 1969 or 68, maybe 67. And it was on the corner. You know where Elko Speedway is.
Yes.
You're a big fan. And you know where the corner, the southwest corner of County Road 2 and the freeway?
Yes.
Okay, now they have... you know, like we have in the Central Park, and you know,
how well, they have
the
trailer court, and then what are those?
They're
not RVs.
Something Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's that, and then that huge spot for craft fairs,
right,
and things like that.
And that's where the Renaissance started.
Oh, really?
In 1967.
Okay.
And of course, you heard of Penn and Teller.
Yes.
The magicians, and they got their start at the Renaissance Fair here in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
And of course, we've had, I think of a fellow by, I don't know his first name, W-E-E. I know that he was from St. John's.
Yes.
And he and his partner are huge
jugglers.
And they did that here at the Defeated Jesse James Days.
Yes, I remember that.
And a lot of things happen. We have Chad Johnson, who has a great song that he wrote and recorded. I should have that, actually. And we'll play it a little bit later. But anyhow, he's got some recognition for us by doing that. And, of course, the raid reenactment is internationally known.
Yes, it is.
And that's always a big draw. And people might wonder, why do we have a billboard in Northfield? When you come from Highway 3.
You're going north on Highway 3.
Before Dundas. There's a big billboard that says Defeated Jesse James Days weekend after Labor Day. Why do we do that? Well, a lot of people commute. If you get out and about, the traffic coming north from Faribault is amazing.
It is at
work time. I have to wait for 12 cars sometimes.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have, thanks to Taylor Trucking, we have the semi parked there. So people
with the logo.
With the logo that is dragged all over, and we're proud of that. And we just do a lot of promoting at various radio stations, TV stations, and newspapers. So the whole point is to bring people, and the whole point of bringing people so they can have fun with their family. It's the last hurrah of summer.
It is.
Basically.
You know, the other day I did get an email from a lady, and her question was, how large is the celebration? How many people come to this celebration? And I responded back, anywhere from 75 to 100,000 people. That's a guesstimate. And she came back, and the first words were, wow, didn't know that, just moved to Northfield and wanted to learn a little bit more about it. And
did you invite her to join the committee?
I said, no, I still have her emails. But anyway, or her texts, one of the two. But anyway, I said, you know, I hope you enjoy the celebration, looking forward to meeting you type thing. And so, you know, it'd be kind of fun to have some sort of questionnaire that people could fill out online. What do you like? What did you like? What didn't you like? What could we improve on? So we have an outside view of the celebration.
When the ambassadors are chosen, they go through a radio interview. One question I always ask them is, what do you like most about the Defeated Jesse James days? What do you like most about the Defeated Jesse James days?
I think my favorite is the raid reenactment. It tells the story. You can see it in person happening. It's something that Northfield is very proud of, and it's important from our history.
Well, I'd have to. Nobody's asked me that.
Oh, well, I think I know.
Well, number one, of course, is the raid reenactment.
Yes, because you were a raider.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there's nothing in my lifetime. I've had a lot of adrenaline things, jumping out of airplanes and all that, but on a horse, robbing a bank, that tops everything that I ever did.
Yep.
But the second thing that I really enjoy is the attention of the children at the elementary schools that we'll visit Friday.
Yep.
And you've been there. You've seen that.
I've seen it.
And, I mean, they are quiet. You could hear a pin drop while we're telling the story of Joseph Lee Haywood's heroism.
And the townspeople.
And the townspeople. Yep. And we downplay the bad guys.
Yes.
And one time, I'll never forget, I said, and those naughty guys, and the kids laughed. I thought that would impress them, naughty, you know, but instead they kind of laughed.
Like, and go, oh.
Like calling a killer a naughty
guy. Naughty
guy. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to say thank you, Debbie, for your contribution to the Defeated Jesse James days and your commitment. You're excellent at what you do.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you very much. And somebody said, who's going to be on the show? And I mentioned your name. Oh, Debbie, the secretary of everything, the chairman of everything, because you're on a lot. You do a whole lot of things.
I do, but I enjoy it all. And it's, you know, it's an important thing to give back to your community.
Have you ever been involved with the Historical Society?
Actually, I was on the board for 6 years, and I was chair.
Okay. Well, good for you. I thought we'd sneak that in. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate her, Debbie Larson, our secretary. And coming up next, the news, and followed by the news, we're going to have John Clemenson on the air, and he's the guy that's in charge of the concession stands, or the grazing area, I like to say. And we'll be back in just a moment here on your radio station, 1080 on your AM dial from Northfield, Minnesota.
Hey, this is Chris Atterbury. No baseball yesterday at Target Field. Mother Nature got in the way. It was awfully wet. As a result, doubleheader today. The Twins take on the Royals in two. This is not a split doubleheader. Game one will begin at 1:10. We'll be on the air at 12:30 with your pregame lineup card. 1:10 first pitch, and then just a brief break to catch our breath between games, and the nightcap will follow. It's the Twins and the Royals, a Sunday twin bill on your home for Twins baseball.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Tasha Radol. The FBI Tuesday unveiled a recovered pair of ruby red slippers worn by Judy Garland in the movie The Wizard of Oz. The pair was stolen in 2005 from the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids. A tip last summer eventually led to the recovery during an undercover sting in Minneapolis. Grand Rapids Police Chief Scott Johnson says it was a big day for everyone involved.
We are very, very pleased that the public, again, has a potential opportunity to view this piece of Hollywood's most treasured piece of our nation's film history.
Experts determine the stolen pair of slippers are actually mismatched twins of the most famous pair of Dorothy slippers that are on display at the Smithsonian Institute. With the investigation ongoing, the FBI did not say where the slippers are headed next. A Sturgeon Lake man is the victim of an apparent drowning on Jesse Lake in northern Minnesota. The Itasca County Sheriff's Office says 78-year-old William Cunningham fell out of his boat while fishing on Labor Day. Cunningham's body was found by a remote underwater vehicle and divers after about 2.5-hour search. Deputies say he was not wearing a life jacket. The incident is still under investigation. The Senate judiciary hearings for Brett Kavanaugh continue today.
This nomination comes before us at a time when we are witnessing seismic shifts in our democracy. Foundational elements of our government, including the rule of law, have been challenged and undermined.
U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar. Things got off to a rocky start Tuesday when Democrats asked to delay the process in an effort to get more information on the president's nominee. Republican Committee Chair Chuck Grassley from Iowa overruled them. This is MNN.